Blog Talk Radio.
Again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. And we do thank you for being a part of this Blog Talk Radio. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, we are an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that we are interactive. We have an opportunity to interact with you. So if you're calling or you're listening by internet and you would like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you call in, you can participate in this Blog Talk Radio interactive time. Amen. This evening we are in Wayne, New Jersey, with one of our regular speakers, Director James Gary from out of Wayne, New Jersey. Amen. And he's doing a series. He's talking on a series, and it is Equipped for Life. Amen. But he is the director of the EFL Ministry out of Wayne, New Jersey, and he can give you a brief a briefing on this ministry. Amen. We're going to have prayer, and then after we have prayer, we're going to move on over to Director James Gary. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we come before you, Heavenly Father, praying for the sick and afflicted. Heavenly Father, those on our list we have are Stuart Hawthorne, James Hobbs, Diane Wilborn, Wendell Wilborn, Billy Dickerson, Yolonia Clay, Father, and there are more who are on our list that we are praying for, and for those, Father, who we pray for publicly and privately, we pray, Heavenly Father, for your healing grace upon them. Father, whatever they're in need of, Heavenly Father, we pray right now, Heavenly Father, that you do what you do best. And we ask for healing in the name of Jesus. We pray, Heavenly Father, for this time together, that those who are listening, Heavenly Father, would receive a word, Heavenly Father, a healing word, Heavenly Father, to help us along our journey. We thank you for this opportunity. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen,
amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Director Gary, we are so happy to hear you once again. We're looking forward to your series, Talk on Equipped for Life, and we're looking to get more information on how to equip the body, how we can equip the body of Christ as we go through our journey. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well, it's a pleasure to be here, brother. It's really, really a pleasure to be here on such a wonderful night as this, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm sure we could be doing many, many other things, but there's nothing better to do than to worship the Lord our God by being by giving him honor, by receiving his favor, and blessing his people with his word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, yes, my name is James, and I've come again today. We're going to continue our lesson called in the Equipped for Life series. This lesson is called Growing Through God's Word, Growing Through God's Word. And it's an introductory look at the Bible for those who are new to the Bible, but it's also a I like to look at it as a revisitation for those who are skilled in the research of the Bible. I tell you, every time I do this lesson, I tell you, it just, God opens my eyes in a different way, and he just comes in a different way. And I'm just glad and pleased to be here on the radio with you guys today, and just tell you a little bit about Equipped for Life. This program was actually written by our former lead pastor. He's now a district superintendent of all the churches, AG churches in New Jersey. So he has about 600 churches under him now. And I'm honored that he chose me to lead this ministry. And it's actually a three-part ministry. The first level of teachings are on Equipped for Life, and that's considered a level one class. The second level will be Barnabas Life Enrichment, and that is a much deeper study. Much like this study, but much deeper. We go deeper into the Word. And then there's also a Word Quest, which is a third-level class. And that's more of an advanced class that we teach at CTI. And CTI stands for Calvary Temple International. And we're under the pastorship of Pastor Matt Batista. We just elected him, so we're excited about that. So we look forward to continuing this series. This is series number 4 in the 7-week series. So I'd just like to open up with a special word of prayer just to cover all the listeners, those who will listen via podcast later, as well as those who are listening right now, as well as myself and you, Brother John. And so say, Father God, we just come in unity of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, to bless us today. Bless our listeners, Lord God, for these are the sheep of your pasture. These are those that are called by your name, that are set to be attentive to your word and to follow Jesus as we follow him to you, Lord God. So, Father God, I ask that you allow my words to be your words to be my words, and bless your people through me. And I ask this in Jesus' name of Nazareth. Thank you, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we start off just talking about the Bible in general. It's such a superb book. I mean, it's for hundreds of years, the Bible has been one of the most, I would say, beloved and well-known books in the world. Spread by word of mouth, by written scripts from various people over centuries. And we are blessed to have the Word of God. It contained in the scriptures is a treasury of history, everything from fascinating stories of ancient customs and also beautiful poetry. And as far as literature goes, the Bible is a masterpiece, absolute masterpiece. But it is even significantly more and infinitely more than this. In fact, this incredible book is God's holy word, which he chose to reveal to his creation. And I would say every book from Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, there's a silver lining, a theme that I want to focus on a little bit on right now. And that theme is a theme of redemption through Messiah, who is Christ Jesus. And it's foretold in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New Testament. And God is, I just want to just reassure everybody and let them know this truth. And I want us to really, really get this tonight, that God has given his word to us as a father would pass down an inheritance to his child. He has given his word to us so that we can do these things in memory of him. Amen. And he wants us to know him. He wants him to know his will for our lives. And he wants to deposit his spirit into us so that we may be nurtured in those times when we need just a word to fill us, when we need energy and strength to move on and get through a difficult time in our lives. And I know that some of you may be going through times in your lives right now that you just, nothing is working for you. And I'll tell you, the word of God will work for you. It will work through you. It will work for you. And it will work to get you through any situation if you would just trust the Lord God, our God.
Amen.
So I encourage you tonight. I encourage you tonight to allow the word to do just that, to nurture you, to guide you, and to encourage you, and finally, if necessary, to convict you. So you must allow, in order for these things to happen, you must first allow the word of God to be spiritual food to your soul every single day of your life. You must be willing. See, our God doesn't bring anybody in kicking and screaming. He is a gentleman. He is gentle with our souls. He is also holy, as I mentioned in our last session. So he does deserve all the honor that is given to him.
Amen.
And the important thing is that when we study the Word of God, we must allow the Word of God to come near to us, because it can bring little influence over our lives if we stay far away from it. We must have intimacy with our Lord through his word.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight's lesson, you're going to learn about the value. We're going to learn about the value of God's word, along with some general and practical guidance on how to study the Bible. And normally I give the students a handout which talks about the basic themes of each book of the Bible, book by book. And this is a really good study guide. But maybe perhaps we can post it on the website at some other time. But for now, we're going to move on to the lesson. And so life principle number four in this series is the Bible is God's word, which declares God's plan of salvation and the riches of his will for my life. I want you to personalize it for my life. Again, the Bible is God's word, which declares God's plan of salvation and the riches of his will for my life. And then key verse number four is this. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, and I'm reading from the NIV. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And see, this is the very essence of the Equip for Life series, is that we want to equip every child of God, every listener that is in the distance of my voice. We want to equip you for every good work that God has already planned for you before the foundation of creation. So we move on to point number one. And we talk about the Bible. The Bible is much more than a famous piece of literature. See, some scholars try to treat the Bible just as a piece of literature. While it does have some, if I may say, God is a literary genius. It is more, the Bible is much, much more than the literary piece of work. The scriptures absolutely speak for themselves, declaring God's word to be eternal and also unchanging. So we as Christians must be careful with this. We must be very careful because many have made the mistake of claiming that the Bible contains a message from God, or that it becomes the word of God as the reader sees it. But this does not agree with Scripture. It definitely does not agree with Scripture, because the Bible in itself is God's word. It's not in part God's word, but in totality. So this entire word, the book, the whole entire book of the Bible, is God's gift to us. It's God's gift to us. God's gift to us. And I just want to read a scripture for all who are listening. And it's from Psalm 119, verse 89. And the psalmist says, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. And Proverbs 35 through 6 says, "Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar." And finally, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, again from the NIV. "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." So this is the word that is preached to us in the Old Testament and the New Testament, confirming that God's word is for us. It was given to us so that we could know him. There's other religions that try to mimic what our God has given us in the form of the Bible, but they fall short because their words from their gods are messages to them. But see, our word from our God is God, is a reflection of who God is. He is the living God, as we saw in Proverbs 35 through 6. It's interesting how the psalmist wrote that. I just want to just back up on that one more second here. And he says, every word of God is flawless. And he mentions word of God is flawless. But then it goes into he is a shield to those who take refuge in him. His word, who is Christ Jesus, is a shield to those who take refuge in him. So this is important, that we must take refuge in him, no matter what problems, what challenges we go through. If you read the word of God and you apply it to your life, it can change. It can change the situation completely.
Mm-hmm.
It can change it completely. So it's more than just a famous piece of literature. It has power. It has power.
And
Any comments or questions?
No, I'm just. I was just going to say, God bless you, sir. I was just going to say that this is a good teaching, and if all those that are out there, if they could just think of, you know, I'm just bouncing off of you as well. Just think of God, and you already said it, not apart from His Word, but He is the Word, and when we find refuge, we find refuge in Him. When you were saying He declares Himself to us, I'm saying that. You know, He declares His word. He's actually declaring Himself unto us.
Amen.
That's why He wants us to be so intimate, because His word is, He is the Word, and He sent Himself through Christ to rescue us. And if we, you know, a lot of times we will take the word of God, we'll read it, and it will be apart from who He is. It's like some people just read the word. It's just like you said, just read it like a book. But the word, He is living. He's a living.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
Living. We can't separate, because we say the word. We can't separate the Almighty God from Himself, because He is the word. So if
Amen.
We would always keep in mind that when we read the word, we're reading God. He wants us to read Him. He wants us to go deep in Him. When we say go deep in the word, He wants us to go deep in Him so He can reveal Himself even the more. That's all I wanted to say. Because a lot of times people will just read the word. Oh, it's just the word, just the word. Just like you said, Pastor, like you said, they're just reading a book. But nah, it's deeper than that, and it's more intimate than that. It's who He is.
Amen. 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 I agree with that wholeheartedly.
You know what I like? I like what you said when you said the word. We use it. Use it as a shield. When you think of a shield, you think of what you hold up out in front of you to protect yourself. And as long as you have the word up there to protect yourself, it'll turn the devil back.
Amen. Amen. See, John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen. Amen.
And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. With Him nothing was made that has not been made. That has
Amen.
Been made. In Him was life, and that life was light. Was the light of all mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Amen.
So when we take the word of John, even in this instant, he shows us that in those darkest moments of our lives, if we were to take His word, if we were to take Jesus into that situation, allow Him to come in, He will bring His light to shine into that dark place, and the
That's
darkness
good.
Will not overcome it.
That's good, right? That's good. Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of our Lord. That is the Shekinah glory that we look for. We need to invite His Shekinah glory into our lives, into our situation, so that we can reflect that light into this dark world.
That's a good word.
See, the thing is, a lot of people don't realize where Jesus was in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But see, right here, he declares that, John declares that Jesus is the Word of God, and he was with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were to do a word study, say, for instance, on, I would say, look at every instance that one of the prophets in the Old Testament says the Word of God came to such and such a person, or the Word of God spoke, or the Word of God came to this person.
Yes.
The word that you will come across is a word in the Hebrew called dabar. Dabar.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that word is Jesus. So anytime you see the Word of God came to this person, that is Jesus making his appearance to that person.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
And the other word that you'll see is, especially in Genesis, you'll see amar. Amar, that's A-M-A-R, amar. That's when God said. So whenever there's action, when Jesus takes action in the Old Testament, you'll see the word amar. When God speaks, and then you'll see a formation of something being constructed, something being made beautiful. And that is where Jesus is in the Old Testament. See, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. I can go really deep into this. I did a word study on this about a year ago, and it fascinated me. And I recommend that all the listeners would maybe pick up on their, if they have a phone or a computer, go to the blueletterbible.com, and you can do a word study on any of the scriptures that challenge you. You can see the Hebrew for the Old Testament, and you can see the Greek for the New Testament, and you can do these word studies and see how so intimately connected and how Jesus is revealed. It's like it's just there for you, and it's waiting to be unpacked into your life.
Amen. You said that's blueletter.com?
Blueletterbible.com. Mm-hmm.
Blueletterbible.com. Okay, brother.
Uh-huh.
Love it.
Yes. So we're going to move on to point two. And here we're talking about God's word through inspiration from heaven. And this is precisely a good segue for what I was just talking about. Because with the word inspiration, which literally means God breathed, the Bible describes how God's word was sent from heaven and presented to humanity in written form. So by stating that all scriptures God breathed, when Paul states this, he's declaring that every word of the original writings of the Bible was exactly as God determined it to be in order to reveal himself and his will to us. Sister, you mentioned something pretty interesting. You said that the Word of God is not just to be read. See, oftentimes, especially when you set yourself up on a schedule, say, for instance, to read the Bible in 1 year, and I'm not by any means saying don't do that. I think that's an excellent, excellent exercise.
Right.
Because after you do that, things will be revealed to you. But sometimes you need to just pause and study a scripture within the context of what God is saying. Because many times you can miss something that is hidden for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you study something, you have to be intimate with it. And that's ultimately what God is after. He wants intimacy with our hearts and with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And our lives must reflect that. So while we use God used the personalities and the varied backgrounds of every writer that was used to write the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And he used it for his glory. Because even the best scholars, even if you put a couple of scholars together and try and put together one piece from beginning to end, you could not do it as well as God did with these people.
Amen.
He used so many people, so many regular people. He used scientists, doctors, doctors. He used so many professional as well as laymen to utilize not only their works and their words, but their personalities.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
And what he did was he used his Holy Spirit to anoint these men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept the writers from making errors. He kept them from the sinfulness of their own actions and their own lives, so that the words that they chose would be the words, the very words that God spoke over their lives, and that that his light will shine through their words.
That's good.
And see, that's the way God uses pastors today, those who are really, truly plugged into him. Those who are really, really plugged into him, he will use their personalities. He would use what I call their bends. He would use their life successes as well as their failures, because he wastes nothing. He wastes nothing.
Yes, that's right.
He uses it all.
Everything, yes.
So it is important to remember that God determined the use of language, and he is able to use it for his own purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way that we must really approach the Bible and understand and really come to understand it. So I give you for instance, the words or the phrase "the Lord spoke" is mentioned at least 3,800 times in the Bible. 3,800 times in the Bible. And I want to read a scripture for you in this regard. And this, again, it is in alignment with what I was just speaking about before, about the word coming to a prophet. So I'm going to read Jeremiah 30, verse 1. And it says, "This is the word of God that came to Jeremiah from the Lord." This is the word of God that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Again, Jesus coming to Jeremiah and relaying what the Father has spoken to Jeremiah. Also, I like to read 1 Peter verses 1, 10 through 11. And God says this. He says, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow." And also in 2 Peter 1:21, "For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit."
Amen.
See, when you allow, that's a teaching in itself, guys. You got me going here.
Sure.
when we allow the Holy Spirit to come in, and we build that intimacy with the Father, with the Son, and with His Spirit, amazing things happen. When you start to tune into His Word, when He speaks it to you, and you follow it, and you see the results of it are always beautiful, always powerful, always wonderful, you become more and more sensitive to it, and then you get on what I like to call on speaking terms with the Lord. And that is a beautiful place to be. See, prophecy is nothing more than having a relationship with the Father, listening to what he says to you, and speaking that over someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
Not speaking what you think about the person, not speaking what you know about their situation, but actually consulting with the Father.
That's right.
Tuning into the Father and what his Holy Spirit is telling you about a situation. See, that's the obedience that Jesus Christ showed. He said, "I speak only what the Father has spoken to me." He will only carry the word that his Father speaks into a situation. And when we mimic our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and do this, we are on par with our position as being a child of God. Amen.
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 I believe Revelation 19 tells us that the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of prophecy.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say that again.
I believe it says that the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen. And what can you give the scripture and verse for that?
Revelations 19:10-11.
Okay. Okay.
I remember when go back and get that scripture, go back.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's the end of?
I don't know. I'm turning to it, though. I don't know. But I remember what the preacher said before. Go back. Check it out.
That's good.
So when someone finds that, you can read that off the scripture. Mm-hmm.
Galatians 19:10. Yeah, it says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy."
Hallelujah. 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 So there is a confirmation.
That's better than I did, but amen. Amen, Elder.
Amen.
Elder Sharon.
Amen. Amen. Good job. Very good job. So that is where we want to be. And prophecy is not like what, you know, these spiritists or any other people that read people and go to all these other things and practice divinity. See, they're tuned into the wrong channel.
Yes,
see, a prophet
amen.
Is tuned into the Lord our God. And that's
mm-hmm.
the difference. They may have the gift, but they're using mm-hmm. it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
See, the gifts of God are irrevocable, but you can choose to use it for God for the God's glory, or be destroyed for using it for evil.
Amen.
See, and that's the difference. We as God's children, we tune into our Lord and Savior. We tune into the Father's channel, and we ask Him. What
Amen.
Is it that he wants? What word does he want to give to that person? And as we abide in him, by what I mean by abide in him is as we start to receive his word, study his word, meditate on his word, these things become very clear and apparent to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Very good.
So that brings me to the next point.
Mm-hmm.
And the next point is about the true author of the Bible. The true author of the Bible. And here, this amazes me all the time, that the Holy Spirit, who actually is the true author, he used at least 35 different individuals with backgrounds as diverse as a shepherd, a doctor, a physician, a missionary, a teacher, farmers, fishermen, and kings to write 66 books of the Bible. And although these very great servants of God lived over a period of at least 1,500 years, the words that they wrote still point to one consistent central idea running from beginning to end. And this is what we call the unifying theme or the scarlet thread. It's God's letter to us. It's his connected letter from beginning to end to us. And this is his scarlet thread, which helps us to see that his word is truth. Because to use that number of people over that span of time and still come to one complete conclusion, one complete consistent message, mathematically is almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't think of any author from Plato to Socrates to the latest guys that really, you know, if you put all their writings together to have one consistent theme. You cannot find anything else in literature that does that today.
Because he's the eternal spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So this message, which is a scarlet thread that I'm speaking about, it points to one. It speaks openly of redemption, which is, in other words, the buying back of us from sin, of his people from sin. So redemption of humanity through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. See, in the Old Testament, when Isaiah talks about the crucifixion, basically he was talking about the Roman crucifixion, which had not even been invented yet.
Wow.
It had not, the Romans had not even invented it in the Old Testament. It had not even, you know, been a people to invent that in the Old Testament in that way. They hadn't even thought of these devices.
Wow.
So it's just a beautiful, beautiful story when you really research it and allow God's light to shine upon you. And it's like, how could Isaiah have known about a crucifixion, about all this beating and breaking,
Amen.
That the Romans wouldn't develop until many, many, many hundreds of years later?
Amen. Wow.
So it's just a beautiful, divine book. And that's how it's little things like that, even though that's not that little of, small of a thing, but it's things like that that really, you know, it's very convincing. And you can tear down any argument that the enemies of God will present, other religions will present, just by settling in on the truth and his word. And you don't even have to argue. The truth will stand on its own. So
Amen.
We speak the truth in love and allow the love of God to do its perfect work, the Spirit of God to do his perfect work.
Amen.
And so the Bible was authored by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will rest upon the person. Jesus will come to that person. The Holy Spirit will rest upon that person, and they will speak and write the things that they heard and that they saw. And, you know, those things are written for us now. And we live in one of the greatest times in history. You know, I mean, with all the technology, all of the opportunities that we have now, just think of this one thing. Another perfect example of something that's small but really great is that the Bible spread all over the world before there was ever an internet.
That's so true.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so true. That's good.
Yeah.
Good. See, this is the divine power, the divine working of the Holy Spirit. Of our Lord,
Amen.
Of Elohim. Elohim, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Elohim. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. So I'd just like to read another scripture for us as we proceed. I'm going to read John 20, verse 31. And again, I'm using the NIV. And it says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." See, if you believe, you will have life in his name. See, God tells us that, he said, if my people who are called by my name would bow down, turn from their wicked ways, you know, and repent, basically repent, then he will hear from heaven. See, here he's telling us he calls us by his name. He has put his name on us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
You see? It's just a beautiful, beautiful, it's a love story. And it. I just recommend that every listener would start to just study what God is saying about you, what he said to you, all of the promises he's given to you, all of the proof that is in the heavens and in the earth. He speaks through nature. He will speak directly to you. He will speak through your situations, your circumstances, your relationships. He is an awesome God.
He really is.
Yeah,
and the way you're putting it, brother, the way you're putting it, the way you're expressing it is like, he's just in love with us. God
is
in love with us. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Remember, he created us in his image.
Yes.
He did not even create the angels in his image. He created us in his image.
Amen.
In his image.
Amen. Oh, good. This is so good.
And even so, he will give us authority to judge angels.
Wow.
Amen. He's talking about the man in the mirror.
Amen. So I'm going to read 1 John 5:13 for us. And here John is saying, here he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Eternal life. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
Yes.
God is good. Okay, so I'm going to move on to our next point,
mm-hmm.
which is point number four, which is the purpose of the Bible. The purpose of the Bible. The purpose of the Bible is simply this. God has chosen through the Bible to reveal who he is and his will for us through two written testimonials. And these two major portions of the Bible are called the Old Testament and the New Testament. Or, you know, if you're in Israel, they will call it the Old Covenant. And if you are a Messianic Jew, you will call the New Covenant the New Testament. You see? And the
Amen.
Old Testament contains 39 distinct books, and the New Testament contains 27. And hundreds of years after these books were written, they were divided by chapter and verse divisions in order to help us in reading and memorizing the Bible. But see, even that is a beautiful blessing from God. See, because even those that wrote the Bibles, they didn't have them separated. They just had like letters and things of that nature. But when it was all canonized and put together, it really became something beautiful for us that we can go back to just renew our spirit.
Amen.
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 Now, our last point that I just want to get to, and I like to, I think we have enough time to open the lines up just a little bit here, is the power that's found in God's Word. So the Bible was written for us, but it contains power. The Bible is a powerhouse, is what I wrote as a reminder here. The Bible is a powerhouse. See, it's a tremendous source of power for all of his children. And I want you to consider these aspects of his word and the accompanying verses I'm just gonna read to you. Okay? Cleansing power. Actually, I'd like someone with a Bible to be able to read this. Cleansing power. Cleansing power. Ephesians 5:26.
Okay, you say 26?
Yes, Ephesians 5:26.
This is in the Living Bible. To make her holy and clean, washed by baptism and God's word.
Amen. So God's word has cleansing power. So husbands, if there are any on the line, wash your wife with the word of God. It has cleansing power. Wash yourself by reading the word of God, cleansing your soul, cleansing your mind, cleansing your spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Now we're going to talk about nourishing power. Now I'll read that one, nourishing power. And you can turn to 1 Peter 2:2 and find this. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And that, again, is through reading the Word of God and treating it as food for your soul. Food for your soul. Then we're going to talk about guiding power. Powerhouse is the Bible. And there, I'm going to read Psalm 119, verse 105.
Could you say that again? I'm sorry. What was that?
This one is guiding power. Guiding
okay.
power.
Okay.
For guidance. And mm-hmm. Psalm 119, 105. And it says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. A light for my path.
Amen.
And then his word also, another power source he has for us is revealing power. And that's Hebrews 4:12, which says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So God will use his word to reveal any inconsistencies in our works, any inconsistencies in our thought life, any inconsistencies in our attitudes. In other words, anything that's not consistent with his heart, he will reveal. He will use his word to reveal it to us.
That's good. I like how you said that. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And then the word of God has life-giving power, life-giving power. And that's Matthew 4:4. And it says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Again, nourishment for power, nourishment for power.
Amen.
And then finally, saving power, saving power.
Amen.
And that's James 1, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 21. And he says here, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. See, when we humble our hearts in situations and we let go of pride, see, he's written that pride comes before the fall. So when we humble ourselves, you have no plateau to fall off of. You're already at the lowest point. So God can and will use you at that point. And there's so many promises that are there for you there. So I have a few definitions for you that I just want you to just remember, and these are words to know. The first one is context. Context. And what I mean by context is that is the portion of the Bible surrounding the verse being read, and it is important to consider the larger amount or type of scripture which sheds light on the individual smaller portion of scripture that you're reading. So in other words, when you read the Bible and you read through scriptures, don't just take the scripture and grab one word and say, oh, that's for me. Read a little bit before it and a little bit after it and put it into context and then apply it to your life. And then apply it to your life. The other term is, you may have heard this in your careers and in your lives, inerrancy. And that is the accurate belief that every word of the original writings of the Bible was exactly what God wanted for humanity to receive. So there are no errors in his word.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And then infallibility. And that's the accurate belief that the Bible has not failed us. And it has not failed to accomplish what God intended. It will not fail. God watches over his word. And then the other thing that I just want to point out is version. When we talk about version, and that's just a translation of the Bible from the original language into a modern language. And I also want to note that paraphrases are what we call loose translations of the Bible, which intend to translate the ideas of Scripture more than the words of Scripture. So when people talk about different versions and things of that nature, just know that it is from word studies. They try and translate the word of God. Some have tried to do the word-for-word translation, but you know, if you speak any other languages like me, I can speak Spanish. So when you translate something word-for-word in Spanish, it doesn't make sense in English. So you must keep things into context of what the idea is that is being spoken. So that's what many translations try and I think definitely succeed in doing. So I don't know if there are any other callers on the line, but we can open up the lines now for the next few minutes that we have. And any questions that you guys may have, feel free to present them.
Well, I can say this was an excellent study. I enjoyed this.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So good.
Amen.
I'm going
Hallelujah.
Back and I got to hear this again.
I enjoyed it very, very much.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So. Well, here's a personal reflection for you guys. And this is what I'll say is that as a final thought, that the Holy Spirit has not only given us a true revelation of God and his will through the inspired word of God, but he continues to bring specific application of illumination, or what we call greater understanding, to those who approach his word in faith. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about how God has been applying and illuminating his word to your heart since you began to trust Jesus. And I go further to say that if you have not yet trusted Jesus, for the next week, I would like you to try and trust him. Read his word and trust the promises that are unfolded for you.
Amen.
Latch on to one, two, or three promises and believe those for this period. Again, I'm not saying God is not a genie. He's not to be put in a bottle. But I want you to do that. And also, as you pray, write down your prayer requests so that when God answers them, you can actually, on the side of that, write down when he answers that. And you'll see he does, in fact, answer your prayers.
Amen.
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 Amen. So in our next teaching, we'll go through key number 5. Again, this is a 7 key series. And just like a car, you won't be able to get into your car unless you have your keys. Well, you won't be able to unlock God's truths in your life and the intimacy he desires for you in your life until you use the keys that he's given us already to get access to a deeper understanding of who he is and what he says. So in our next session, we will cover that, and I look forward to seeing everyone there and speaking with you again.
Amen.
And I will turn it over to Brother John.
Amen, amen, amen,
amen.
A wonderful, wonderful word. We do appreciate you, Director James. We do appreciate you. And for those of you who are listening by the internet, and even those who are listening by phone, we urge you to go to the archives, and share this with family and friends. Keep in mind that we are the body of Christ. We are the witness. And this is a way that we can help our family and our friends, amen, to equip them for life, amen. So we do urge you to go back to the archives and share it with a family or a friend, amen. Director James, we're looking forward to next week as you give us more of what God has shared with you, keys to unlock his truths. We do thank you. For those of you who are tuned in, we thank you for tuning in, and we're looking forward to hearing you next week. Until then, may God bless you. Remember, we love you, but God loves
you
the most.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Amen.
It's so hard to understand. can begin it.